You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's RuPaul's Drag Race After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's RuPaul's Drag Race After Show.
Hey!
If anyone was wondering what was just happening, serious stuff.
There was some serious hand gesturing going on here.
That makes it sound really bad.
Whatever you want to imagine it on iTunes, that's what it was. If you can see us, well, it's kind of wah-wah.
Think the worst.
Hello, Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz show for RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. I'm Jackie Borowski, and next to me is...
Cameron Marston.
And across from me...
Natalie Vretney.
And Tony Moore.
And we have a special guest, Jason. Hey. He is on the pit crew.
Hi, everybody. Yay. Hi.
He's not wearing his costume.
He's not wearing his costume, so you might not recognize him.
People always say that, too. Like, are you? Wait, I didn't recognize you with your clothes on. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're like, is that a compliment
like,
or what?
You're welcome. I'm giving you a multifaceted, I'm giving you different looks.
Oh, by putting clothes on?
Yeah, use your imagination. You've seen all of this before, now you get a different, you know, it's fall, it's, you know, the underwear is for the summer.
Right.
Jason also does other AfterBuzz shows, and I was quizzing him before he came in here. What other shows do you do so they can catch you on the other shows?
You can catch me on Grey's Anatomy, Abby's Ultimate Dance Competition, which I've renamed.
That is a mouthful of a name.
Yes, Abby's Ultimate Dance Experience, because the show itself is an experience, and a bunch of other ones, but those are the most current ones, so you can catch me there here at AfterBuzz.
Yay! Side note, I want to thank you fans for continuously commenting on our YouTube. No, really, there are some people that have been commenting since the beginning, and there are some really great comments on there, and I try to respond to everyone.
And yes, she does.
And I really do.
I just read them.
See, Tony's actually reading them. You just can't tell.
Well, I'm honestly reading them just to see if my name is in it.
Of course.
Is that bad?
I mean,
I'll respond to anything. Even if you call us the wrong names, I'll probably respond to that too. But I want to remind you that we are also downloadable on iTunes. If you could also please comment on iTunes, because there are no comments for this season, and it's giving me the sads.
We don't want you to have the sads.
I know. We don't want me to have the sads. Even if it's an unfriendly comment, that's okay.
The sads. You're like, I have sads.
I have sads. And I do try to respond to everyone. I also noticed that there was a comment from last season saying that somebody couldn't find the Gay Beaner's website. Go to Bing.com, type in the Gay Beaner, and it should be the first thing that comes up. I tried it. And I'm sorry that this response is coming to you 5 months later.
I hope you're still watching.
I hope you're still watching and that this is helpful. And no, we didn't do drag you, and I'm sorry about that. First, before we get into the show, I also want to comment on Michelle's clothing. I think there was a lot of...
Boobs.
There was a lot of... I personally love Michelle. We've had Michelle call into the show before, and there were a lot of... not hateful, but, like, I know last episode we were kind of ragging on her dress, but someone did point out that the dresses are made specifically for her, so it's not like she's exactly picking them out. So,
but she has a choice. In life, you have choices.
You do. You do.
And there are times where someone should just say no.
Well, listen, if I had a boob job or breast augmentation, and I mean they're stellar breasts. I mean that's one of the best racks I've seen this side of Mississippi.
Hell yeah.
So I say, I mean, work it. That's part of her identity, you know?
Right. I mean, they are great.
I just want to throw her a bone because I do like Michelle, and I think that like picking on her outfits is. I mean, we do it because
Michelle.
We do it because, like, yes, it was getting extreme, but I also, you know, I agree. Yeah. You have nice boobs. You should show them off.
I like... Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Listen, I like Michelle too, but I feel like she definitely needs to tone it down. Like, she is becoming a drag queen each week.
I think she's always been like that.
Well, is she transitioning?
Transitioning to a drag queen.
She post-op.
She is definitely transitioning into something.
And I also want to point out, though, I think I said this to somebody on a comment, that I think she said this in one of her videos. What are they called? The after chat videos? When somebody loses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She said this in one of her videos, which I know this is kind of ironic, but they're hard to listen to because the audio is so bad. And I know sometimes people have complained about the audio here, but hopefully we fix that. But the audio keeps cutting in and out, so I can't watch all of it. But she did mention that... Oh my god, my brain just died.
And you've done four different voices.
It must be the sads.
Since we started.
I know. I've had so much caffeine right now.
So you're on a sugar high.
But she mentioned that she is judging them more harshly because it's an all-star show.
Right.
She's supposed to judge them more harshly. And I know, like, for me, sometimes I'm like, that's mean. But then you got to remember that they're all stars, and they're nitpicking for that reason.
It's very right. true, but it goes back to my theory that I've been saying for the past few weeks, that I really do feel like they should have had different judges.
I agree with that.
Well, for branding of the show, they're going to keep the same judges, but I could see where...
But this is a different... It falls under the umbrella of RuPaul's Drag Race, but this is now a different little vignette, is RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. It's just like Project Runway, and then there's Project Runway All-Stars. They don't bring Heidi and Michael Kors and Nina Garcia back for All-Stars. They bring in a completely different host and completely different judges, because those people are already familiar with them.
Right. It's
so,
but if they were new judges, like, for example, how would they know how much Chad Michaels grew from his last season to this one? You know,
it's not about that. They're not being judged on their growth. They're being judged on, you are an all-star, you should have this expectation. So those judges who are coming in are going to have that higher expectation of them too, knowing that, you know, they are all-stars, they've done this before. It's not drag 101 anymore, it's drag 201.
Well, from the financial side, maybe the contracts for the judges were already set in stone, and it was cheaper to do that route than hire new judges and pay them another bundle of cash, because we all know Ru likes to keep her money.
Listen, they could have asked me, I would have done it for free.
We could have been the panel.
Exactly. But I know about drag. Wait. A little bit. I know just as much as Michelle.
Bye. Oh, snap! Oh, whoa. So we'll move on to the show, but I do want to say, let's comment on this on YouTube or iTunes. Let's keep the conversation going. Obviously, we don't always agree here, and you're more than welcome to agree or disagree with us. I enjoy reading either one, seeing what people's viewpoints are. And now, moving into the show. Cheerleaders.
The sound effects are always on it. I love it. You're welcome.
Steven is a sound effects...
guru.
I was gonna say whore, he's good.
Same thing.
You mean Dan?
Same thing.
Dan, I thought it was Steve.
I like to call Steve Dan.
Oh yes.
I thought it was Michael.
Steve's new name is Dan.
Michael.
And
Steve Dan Michael.
He loves the sound effects.
Whoop-de-doo.
Funny.
Cheerleading costumes. Back at the farm. The RuPaul's Drag Race cheerleading costume farm.
Are we going in order when we judge the costumes?
You guys can just rip wherever you want.
I like Chanel, and I think she looks really nice when she does herself up, but she looked like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre villain in her drag. It was the skin look, but I really like her, but the makeup was just off.
Now, we're referring to the mini challenge where they had to dress as cheerleaders and do the whole reading thing.
Yes.
The cheers were good, though.
She looked like the Catwoman.
She looked bad, but I can't even compare to that kind of read. I just can't.
Well, here's the thing. The reading mini challenge is always my favorite, because I love when the girls get a chance to read each other, but I was not very impressed.
I wasn't either.
This go round with the reading. And going about Chanel, I feel like she looked like the ditzy cheerleader who got plastic surgery done during high school.
She did not. Yeah, she did not look good.
The only thing that was the point, though.
I love that movie.
Oh, you guys, remember we're not supposed to talk over each other.
Well, sorry. The thing about the mini challenge, though, like just from watching the show too, they have this. I mean, these girls obviously can beat their faces up like no other. Yeah. But yes. So they have, and they have a small window of time to get into the character they're supposed to assume for the main challenge. So as far as the reading goes, Tony, I agree with you that I've heard better reads.
Yeah.
Walking down Santa Monica Boulevard, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. than on tonight's show. But they were funny, and because they were in a cheers sort of way. I mean, I thought Jarlexis. I thought their read was the best.
Their read was the best.
Looks like they Jackie were. Chan. She said you.
Yeah, she said you. despite that.
Even though they say Jarlexis with a J, she says you for Juju. Well, yeah, am I the only one that just finds that so funny?
She can't pronounce her J's. You guys stop picking on her.
But she can pronounce her J's when she says Jarlexis.
It was cute. It was cute. Oh, and the read was definitely the best. But
Wait, but you notice that. Jay in
but Yarlexis. Alexis says Jarlexis.
Oh, because I think that's how they do it in Puerto Rico.
It's Ja, like Jada.
For Juju, it's Yu.
But did you guys notice that Chad looked like flawless?
Oh, yeah.
Chad looked Chad's like she. That's her face. Like Chad she just is, stepped out, and that was her face.
Chad is professional always. No matter if he has 2 hours to be his face or 30 minutes, he will put together something and look flawless. That's Chad.
Yeah, and which I think was my problem with the whole Chanel's face situation, because you had Chad coming out looking flawless and Chanel coming out looking like a train wreck.
But I think
maybe Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a little bit.
No, that was
I like white fierce, chicks better. Girl. That was funny.
But I think sometimes that's their way of showing maybe a different side, a more playful side. Like everything doesn't have to be so put together. Like this was supposed to be a fun little mini challenge. Maybe instead of being typical Chanel, she just wanted to try something different. It's all in fun, you know, especially when the library is open.
But if it's gonna be playful, I like
then
the Yar Alexis.
Chad should have been in the same vein, no, maybe.
No.
Like, well, come on, Chad. Come on, sis.
Come on, Chad. Look come crappy on, with sis. Me. but in that same vein, then why not make the makeup look playfully like badly done? Like Yar Alexis had their makeup wasn't great, but it was definitely playful, and I thought that it was cute and it fit.
Yeah.
Despite not having much time to put it on.
Well, I mean, it's an idea that she obviously had. I'm gonna go with my theory that she was going for like the ditzy cheerleader with a whole lot of plastic surgery.
She might feel that she's always being ripped for being not. She overdoes it. She tries too hard. We call that TTH.
Chad?
She puts her face together nicely, Chad, though. I always think she puts herself together really.
Chad?
Previous her seasons, face. Chad was always ripped for being too polished.
Too perfect. Too,
there's no, like, they don't, that he's very, that all that's just a front that he's hiding, which I never disagreed. I never agreed with when Michelle or the judges always read Chad watching the show. Tony said it. To the point, he's a professional. You can't his aesthetic and his ethic has been indoctrinated in him over so many years of doing this that you can't just tell Mariah not to sing amazingly when she's been singing amazingly for her whole life. You know,
you can't tell Mariah anything.
Chad, mm-hmm. that's Chad. So for people to clock him and say, oh, well, he's like trying too hard to be to this or that, or it's inauthentic. That's not true. Chad, he's just a beast that way. And I mean. You got it. Maybe some of these queens should take a real quick sniff of what Chad is crapping because he is the poo. And,
yes. You know?
I love how you put that.
Not the poo that you almost stepped in coming in here.
Right.
But a different kind of poo.
It's still there, by the way. I saw it. Oh, my God. What?
But, Jason, you're there the entire time doing the mini challenge, mm-hmm. right? Are there things that we're not seeing? Because I feel like it goes really quick, and I feel like maybe they're taking the best of the best of what's happening in the mini challenge, and we're not seeing the whole thing.
Well, again, it's a television show, and they have to edit the show for. I mean, they'll have so many instances to show you what's going on. So, mm-hmm. I mean, everything you pretty much see on the show is real time of what's going on. You know, I would have to say that Drag Race is one of the most true to life reality shows of what's going on when you're seeing it on TV. There's no kind of. They don't substitute things. What you're seeing is actually has happened there while it's being filmed. So, I mean, the main challenges, and they're always fun. I think the main challenges are a lot better than actually some of the main challenges because you're put on the spot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be...
Well, a good queen can ad-lib real quick.
Right.
Yeah.
And these are real queen.
Well, and a lot of these queens on the show, or these women, I don't call them men because they don't want to but these women on the show, they're very talented. You know, we forget that these people, it's not as easy as we, as it is television. televised or portrayed on television. These people have to assume a whole other personality and a whole other, you know, just a different person in order to be on this show. So they're very talented individuals, almost genius in some instances.
Definitely. I learned a few things from them.
I agree with that. I mean, and you know what? To echo your statement, when I was watching the elimination video with Michelle Visage, she said the same thing. She was like, we don't stunt situations. We don't prompt people to do certain things. Like, we may film something over and over again, but she's like, it's as real as reality is going
to
get.
Exactly. Everything you see is true to form. I mean, and I just have to say, watching Drag Race, I've learned how to do a mean smoky eye.
you and eyes, you are all about, Jason is all about, like, eye care and, like,
you know,
eye makeup and eyebrows and all
fresh
that.
And, you know, black don't crack, first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, Drag Race has definitely taught me a thing or two.
Well, you should come in here and we should have our own version of Drag You.
Yeah.
Do our eye makeup.
I can't beat the face up that good.
No. You guys will end up looking like Chanel in that mini challenge if Jason did it.
Word.
Which is weird because isn't Chanel a professional makeup person?
Well, no. Look, again.
Something like that.
No, Chanel is flawless. If you see Chanel live, Chanel's no joke. Chanel is the T. Chanel runs. Chanel's off the hook. But again, it's a mini challenge. They only have so much time to do this. And probably to make it fun and light, they didn't want to be so, you know, because they just like, screw it. Let's just go. Because winning the challenge is not about more in their performance versus what they're wearing, you know? So, of course, Rue knows that they're not going to go and be glamorous in 2.2 seconds, you know?
Also, but, wait, I don't know if you already said this, but since you were there for the mini challenge, did you know if there was a theme to what Chanel was trying to do, or
I have honestly. You know what?
Natalie's obsessed with this.
I just
want
to know, because if it was a gimmick, what was she trying to impersonate?
Honestly, when I'm on set, I have no clue what's going on. Oh no! When I land on set, I'm someone oils me up.
Nice.
Make sure my face is, everything's cool, and I have what I need, and I walk in, do what I have to do, and then I leave. I have no idea what's going to go on or what's happening. I the same way you guys see it, it's the same way it unfolds for me, too.
Yeah.
So I just sit there and smile and bask in the awesome lighting that is in the studio, and I'm standing next to RuPaul. You know, it's great. So I have no clue. So I have no, I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
We're just going to chalk this up to Chanel being Chanel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, when Raven and Jujubee had on their colorful wigs, like no cheerleader really wears that. So again, it's all playful and fun. So I think that's what Chanel was doing.
Probably, yeah. Because you guys have seen Chanel in her glory. And if you see Chanel live, it's a sight to behold. Chanel is, I mean, the eyes alone are mesmerizing. And then
he's back not to biased eyes. Or anything.
Yeah. No, back to eyes. Back to the eyes.
No, but
back
I agree. Up. I think Chanel always looks mind, great. That's what threw me off in this challenge.
Yeah. No, Cameron, what were you saying?
Mm-hmm.
Cameron
when
does
you
not
cross,
like Chanel.
When you cross attraction, because we talked, we remember we're in the screening, and you said he's a very attractive man.
Yeah.
So when you cross the eyes over into the drag scene, it just turned into a whole different story for me.
Well,
clearly, I'm not a Chanel fan. For me, I find her borderline female impersonator rather than drag queen. I think she's amazing. She has an aesthetic to her that is professional and polished. I myself wouldn't watch her in a drag show myself because I want the entertaining aspect of it. I don't find her and I don't find her endearing. I don't find anything redeeming for her as a personality.
You can't connect with her?
No. Well, but I think she's talented. Don't get me wrong. But I just don't connect to her. And as a RuPaul's Drag Race contestant. Now, Americans want to love people. Like, I love Nina Flowers. She's not the prettiest girl. She doesn't have the best aesthetic, but she has her style and her energy shows through for me.
But that's, to each their own. Like, you know, but again, that's with any kind of performer, like us being hosts, people may not connect with me as a host, but they may connect with you, Cameron, because you're Latino, you're this masculine Latino dude. They're into that, you know what I'm saying? But with Chanel and Chad and a lot of the older queens, I'm also new to the whole drag community. Until I started doing Drag Race, of course I knew drag queens, I'm sorry, existed, but I never knew the extent of how. First of all, it's multi-million-dollar industry. The level of competition, the intensity of drag—it's no joke, people. These people are fighting for blood, and it's entertaining to watch. But Chanel, Chad, in conclusion, they're old school, so they have an air about them that might be a little bit not relatable, you know, as opposed to a lot of the newer drag queens that are quirky, like Willem, very just, you know, like quirky.
Sharon Needles.
Right, you know, yeah. But, and again, Sharon Needles,
I loved
though.
Her.
Right, but some I love Sharon Needles too, but watching Sharon, I don't connect because I feel like all that's just a little bit too much for me. I like beauty. Sharon's not ugly, but I like beautiful queens. Shangela, Carmen Carrera. That's the aesthetic I go for, so I get it. But in conclusion to Chanel, I am definitely Team Shad. And yeah, I mean, they definitely held their own this season.
Yeah. And in talking about Chanel performing live, I know we're getting a little... But
no, that's okay.
But she's very... How she is as far as like theatrical and over the top, that's her performance. Sometimes you literally feel like you are watching a bit of a Broadway production. From makeup to costume to everything that she comes up with, it's very theatrical. So it does draw you in. So you should go see her live.
Even when she rehearses and she sets up the choreography. Oh, Chad said she wasn't a dancer. I thought...
Well, we talked about this too in the screening. There's a different mentality because I'm actually not Latino. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm from Hawaii. So in Hawaii,
oh, cool.
In Polynesia, we talked about this. So a lot of times drag queens or transgendered are actually put on a pedestal and they have a huge following and a big drawing. So the old queens back home, and a lot of big stars used to come, like Candace Kane and those, all the old queens used to come because it's very relaxing, but the drag there is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
There's professionalism and all that stuff, but I mean, I think Chanel's talented. I just don't connect, like you said.
Just not a fan.
Well, I think that there's Rock on, it's great that there's something for everyone. There is a drag queen for everyone.
That is such a nice way to end
that. This is
such
a productive conversation.
There is a drag queen for everyone.
I love
and
that you
moving
put
on.
All that in a box and wrapped it up and said,
yeah,
and moving
said, okay,
on.
Okay, hi.
Next challenge.
Next challenge. We bring in two people I don't know and one I do.
Yeah, that third one threw me off.
So there is... Katie Z, who is Pia Zadora's daughter. First off, Pia Zadora, call in if you know what she's been in, what she does, because the only thing I can remember her in is True Beverly Hills.
And I think she was Naked younger. Gun as well. I looked
yes.
up her IMDb.
But I don't even remember her in Naked Gun.
Didn't
I can
she have
actually
a couple
recall
songs
her
in her heyday? I think she sang, too.
She may or may not have sang.
She dated somebody.
We are going to get comments
she,
about this.
Yes.
Awful. We don't
but,
know our queen.
No,
she's not a queen.
But here's the
this
thing, though.
So,
not, and Jason said this earlier when we were in the screening room. Some of the people you bring in, sometimes it's who you know, not necessarily how famous you are.
Right. Or, I mean, like, a lot of celebrities that I see on any show, they're relevant in some way, shape, or form. And people know them. They're not going to have, like, some unnotable or some not the person who's not a notable currently. And, again, for a show like Drag Race, you want a lot. You want a variety of different people on the show because we know who Kelly Osbourne is and
right.
But Vanessa Williams' daughter, Jillian Hervey, she beauty queen, did not know who she is, but now we know she's also someone who's acting now. She's on the
up and coming. She's
also a singer. Right. So
and a dancer.
I mean,
yeah, she's her I actually went to her LinkedIn page and the top thing is dancing, so
yeah. So and I mean we're now enlightened by someone, and plus she was great on the show, beautiful girl, you know, so it works. And that and sometimes you don't want to see a current celebrity. Like I would love, like Drag Race is notorious for having, like, really they got her, like Rachel Hunter, mm-hmm. Rosie Perez, mm-hmm. Natalie Cole, like all these, like just a whole different variety of stars that are on the show that makes it worthwhile, because then you get these people commenting and getting their opinions on the queens, and it's just more entertaining that way. Versus we could always have, like, let's say they bring Jason Kennedy from E. Oh, well, we see him every week on E. Yay, mm-hmm. More Jason Kennedy. Versus someone who's not really in the spotlight, but we still like Jennifer Love Hewitt, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I someone love Nicole Phillips. Phillips.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
I think I was the only one who was excited about that.
Yep.
You
busy
were.
Love busy.
Love her.
Dawson Creek, you know? Yeah, of course. Cougar Town, she's amazing. She's good stuff.
She's so funny.
And a lot of it is, you're right, promotional.
Yeah.
A lot of these people come on because... Katie Z, when I was looking her up, she is trying to do pop music.
Right.
So it's a lot of this is just, I just think, though, that if that's your goal, maybe mention it more. Like, I think Jillian did the right thing where she was saying, oh, I'm a dancer. I do dance. This is like, if you're on there to plug, you should probably plug.
No, but again, you're on RuPaul. But why would they plug? They're not going to plug on RuPaul's show. You're not going to say, like, hey, I'm Jason Carter, and I have an album coming out next, because there's no time for that, you know? But you also have to remember that RuPaul's Drag Race is... one of those guilty pleasure shows that's, I mean, Entertainment Weekly every year says one of the best shows on television because there's nothing like it. So these people that are on RuPaul, they do it because it's like, okay, well, we can easily go do Kimmel. We can easily go do one of these shows that people really aren't watching anymore. No one cares about Jimmy Fallon at 12 o'clock in the morning.
I watch a lot of late night.
But you watch snippets of it.
No, right. I watch the entire episode.
Nowadays, we listen to television. We don't watch television. Drag Race, we watch Drag Race because of everything that unfolds. And it's, again, it's one of those shows that's kind of... it's not conservative. It's very liberal, I guess, and people, you know, it's gay topics, it's so people that are watching it are either like, ooh, it's Drag Race, no, it's drag queens, it's homosexuals, but they're talking about it.
Right.
And so, and it doesn't matter if they like it or not, they're watching it, so yeah, these stars go on the show because it's like, cool, I'm on a show that everyone's talking about, be if they like it or hate it, but they're still talking about it, and they're still gonna see me.
Right, and they watch it from beginning to end.
Beginning to end.
I mean, Natalie, you might watch Kimmel throughout, but I will never watch one of those shows in its entirety unless someone I actually know, like, is on
it. Promoting something. Yeah, and that's how it started out for me, but then I just really like their stand-up.
Because Drag Race, you'll watch the whole thing from beginning to end, no matter who's on it, no matter if it's, like, random whoever, you know?
So the special guests in the main challenge, my opinion on them, I...
Oh, hey, Tony.
Just, you know, getting the...
Oh, Tony's here.
Getting it, you know, back into Drag Race. I kind of feel like when they do bring special guests in, that it puts a lot of weight on the special guests.
That is true.
Because now they're responsible for making sure that whoever they're with survives, mm-hmm. or that they do a good job. So now, with the format of this show, the added pressure of having a pair, now with this challenge, they have to create a girl group, and now having a special guest, now it just seemed like a lot for... I mean, they had fun with it, but it seems like a lot of pressure
for
now.
For the special guest.
Yeah, for the special guest and for them, especially when we had Katie Z, mm-hmm. who was with Rujubi, not be so welcoming to the idea of having the heavy makeup and the drag makeup and stuff like that. So in a way, she was hindering, you know, that group. You know, mm-hmm. they're there to win.
On top of the choreography, she couldn't really dance either.
Yeah, I mean, I think she had a performer quality to her, but I think
it wasn't big enough.
Yeah, in rehearsals it seemed big, but then she seemed a little timid during the actual main stage performance. But that was one thing. Her not going through with the makeup and things like that was something that hindered, you know, them. And then that's what they got critiqued on. So I think special guests sometimes, it's fun, but it adds another element, and it's someone else that's now responsible for your survival there.
Well, here's my thing. We know in Untucked how Raven says America's gonna read you, basically. Yeah. And I this time I actually watched Drag Race before Untucked, and the whole time finally. It's only because I was at Mickey's. the whole time I'm watching it, I'm getting angrier with her because I'm like, how do you agree to come on a show like this and then not play by their rules?
Yeah,
and that makes I'm sure most of the viewers are incredibly frustrated by that because people like me are like, oh, if I was on Drag Race, I'd make you wear, I could wear whatever you wanted me to wear, like dress me up, do my makeup. And that's the whole fun of being on a show like that. Yeah. And it just seems like she didn't understand it. And so why are you there?
I think as a special guest, you have to be open to whatever the challenge is, whatever that, because it's not about you. You're an additional element to what's mm-hmm. happening. So it's now your job to make sure that you do whatever it is that you need to do to make sure that that group doesn't go home.
Right.
Because it could fall on you. Your performance is being evaluated as well, and it reflects you all as a group.
Right.
So I think as a special guest, you just have to be open to whatever is going on. And because she wasn't open, that landed them in the bottom two.
Oh, and it was highly visible. You could tell of the three special guests.
And, you know, she tried to redeem herself and Untucked, or at least behind the scenes, but...
Too late.
Well, here's the thing, is Raven, God bless her, was being so nice to her when people, viewers, are wanting to throttle her. And Raven points that out, basically, saying, hey, you may be okay in here, but America's going to be very angry with you.
Right. But I like that Raven wanted to make sure that she was comfortable.
Right.
Because again, it's a group challenge, so she had to make sure that she was comfortable as well. So that's why they didn't force it on her.
Because Raven is a better person than me.
Not necessarily. That might have been strategic. Like, you want to make her feel even worse, and then she completely crops out on stage, and then you're going home anyway.
Yeah.
Which she... Never mind.
I do love that Kelly Osbourne was just like, I'm ready. I've always wanted to do this. This is like a dream. You would have thought that she was like she won some sort of contest to be on RuPaul's Drag Race, that she was never a judge previously, and that she got picked out of obscurity to come and be a special guest and do this. She was like, I'm ready. More makeup, the better. And I love her comment when they were talking about the contouring in Untucked. And she was like, oh, honey, contour is your friend.
Mm-hmm. She's talking about how people like were saying she has a man jaw and things like that. And she's like, well, do whatever. Yeah. And I think watching that, I felt more like a Kelly Osbourne when I was watching it. I was like, oh, I'd be so in her position. I'd want all my makeup done. I'd want them to make my cheekbones look good, make my nose look skinnier, make contour. My face look better, you know? I would want all of that. So I think that was my frustration with Kelly or Katie or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Katie.
And then my love for Kelly
in
that same situation.
And even Jillian, like, she was like, I'm ready, let's do this. She was she was a part of it and was open to doing it and added her fierceness to Shed. So I thought she was good. I thought she was beat too. And I love that special moment between Chad and Chanel when they were discussing their friendship and how they've been friends for 15 years, but then they had a falling out for 5 years. That was another moment that reminded me of Manila and Latrice, when they just had a moment of like, girl, we don't know each other, you know, so let's get to know each other. And they had that moment.
Definite humanizing factor.
Definitely. Protect your friendships, people. Friendships are important.
They are. So who did you guys think had the best onstage girl group performance?
I agree with Shad and Jillian that they had the best and that they should have won.
I agree.
They used their guests to their asset.
Yeah.
As an asset.
Yeah. I don't think she outshined them.
No.
I think the three of them collectively made a great girl group.
Well, I do agree with the judges that my eyes were constantly riveted to Jillian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think they did well. I thought it was the best performance out of
the day.
So did I.
Although I will say, even though last week I was saying that Yarlexis should go home, they stepped it up. I thought they brought their A game this week.
Yeah.
And I think that... I guess let's touch on the fact that they're always talking about their accents. They're always talking about... these girls feeling left out because no one understands them. Mm. But I was like, this isn't even, I mean, that to me wasn't even a question in this episode. It was talked about. I know. Yeah. That's why I don't understand. It's like, it's talked about, but the fact is they were underperforming up until this point, regardless of how they sound, regardless of their voices, they were underperforming. And then they brought it in on this episode, which then made me feel a little bad because I was like, just when they bring their A game, they're getting shot down.
But I think it was a way that all three of them connected. Kelly, Yara, and Alexis all connected with the accent and not being understood by people and
being bullied when they were younger.
Yeah, exactly. And
Kelly's not even gay.
I know, that was my
favorite. Well, Yara, who pointed it out? Yara or Alexis?
Alexis pointed out that Kelly
that she was being bullied, you know, and she's not even gay. So, but I think that was another nice moment that they bonded over their accents and people not understanding them and stuff. So,
well, I for one never understand what Yara is saying when I
no
see
one
her.
Understands.
Like, they don't even understand each other. Sometimes.
Yara is a Puerto Rican version of Tammy Brown.
Yeah,
like they both live like. Like they live in the planet next to each other.
Love
they're the same
Brown,
solar system.
Yara. And they shuttle to each other's planet.
They teleport. Yeah.
Teleport us to Mars. I love that line from Jamie.
I thought watching tonight's episode, I'm not there for the actual challenges.
You're not there for the main challenge?
I'm not there for the main challenge.
You gotta get on that.
No, I'm well, it's a competition, so they have to keep everything as legit secret as possible because you know things leak and they want to make sure the integrity of the show is always protected.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I'll watching tonight's episode, I thought your Alexis did a great job. I didn't think anyone, honestly, I thought their performance was better than Jillian's as far as with Kelly and really them going full speed ahead. And, you know, it's the performance quality, because I'm a dancer myself. So watching, you know, I look for the performance aspect of it. And, I mean, Jillian was cute. She was great, but there wasn't anything that stood out that was like, whoa, that's why they deserve to win.
Did you see what she was wearing?
It doesn't matter. I mean, do you see what they're always wearing?
Right.
You know, they kind of, like, get, you know...
They looked like a team, though. That's what I liked about them. They looked and they acted and they performed as a team. Visually, they looked like a team.
Yeah.
And their camaraderie was that of a team.
But I also feel like Yarlexis, that group, their energy was a little toned down. Like, I feel like they could have, if they added just a tish more energy to their performance, it would have been that much better. It was a good performance, you know. I did like it, but I feel like the energy level just wasn't there.
It was imbalanced.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, who do you guys think that they were singing those on the tracks where they had like higher? I was like,
that was my first thought when the track played. I was expecting to hear RuPaul,
right? Yeah,
and then I was hearing these other people, and I was like, there was no like recording session,
right?
Who are these?
It's like when you go to iTunes
that are like singing this.
You go to iTunes and download like the All Stars dubbed version of like Rihanna, Love the Way You Lie. It's like some little girl, you know. You're like, wait a minute, this is not Rihanna. As performed by, you know,
it's like kids bop, right. Drag bop.
Actually, I have a weird stalker thing to say. Everybody stalker. Gets really silent when I said that.
I'm trying to guess who it's about. Which queen?
The Gay Beaner tweeted Logo asking, actually, if they were going to release those special versions of the songs.
What?
Because he liked them?
Because he liked them.
Who is this Gay Beaner? Why haven't I heard? Well, let's tweet him now. Why haven't
Google
I heard?
Google him on Bing.
Jose, he's my friend. And
or don't Google on Bing. That's incorrect. Sorry.
Fired.
Fail.
Sashay away.
Sorry, Natalie will not be joining us next week.
She's going to be replaced by a pillow.
A Bing pillow.
A Bing pillow.
Wow.
She's already threatened discrimination. What's next?
I did like Ruju B. Although they got clocked for the season 2 choreography of Jealous of My
Booty.
That
was not cool.
That was not cool.
As much as I love them.
Yeah.
They're like, I just love them.
RuPaul
but it was
like,
just like,
the choreography seems very familiar from season 2. And sometimes you just don't do that. Sometimes you go where you're comfortable. And Raven was just like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sure is. But
yeah.
we tore it up. And I love Jujubee's little breakout moment, her little solo. Because
she gives
good mouth. Like, she was definitely feeling it. Like, she was up there just like, yeah, waving to the audience and stuff. I was like, okay, you are in your moment.
But Jason clocked her because at the end, when she was posing, she's like, oh, what do I do with my hat?
She was like... You know,
I
always hate that when, like, you have a strong face. You know, commit. She was like, the song stopped playing 2 hours ago. She's like, wait, hold up. It's coming. I'm fighting it. And then, you know, and then Jujubee always has, like, that whole...
Yes.
Like she's surprised or smelled something really funky. Or, you know, I love Jujubee. Her face alone warrants laughter. Is laughable.
Yes. She's a very expressive face.
Very good. Like, just everything about her is just very like, hi, I'm Jujubee.
And then she's so tiny, which is like, it's exacerbated. She wears these huge, huge shoes. And she's so tiny, so it's like...
And her wigs are just like, boom. You know?
Everything.
Everything.
I love it.
Although I think that, like, okay, so at the end, when they judge them, I think that was another moment I was, like, throwing popcorn at the screen for Katie because Raven basically is trying to, like, nudge her into
and
being
say,
like, hey.
You need to speak up and say, like, no, I didn't want that much makeup on my face.
Right.
Instead of just standing there going, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Again, anyway. Special guests, you need to be open and step up when you make a mistake. So that
special.
Way the team... Well, special. Special guest. And what about Santino and his comments about Raven's stockings, whether
Santino is a fashion designer.
Listen, as Raven put it, those stockings were $15.
A piece.
So clearly they were not cheap.
Mm-mm.
I mean, Santino, I dig him. I think he's great. And I'm saying this as a person that's not on the show, but is from watching the show. I think sometimes some of the things that the girls get clocked on are... and for those who don't know what clocked means get read. And if you don't know what read means get told about. like, clock, read, what is this? Freaking cost plus market? no, but, like, some of the stuff that the girls get clocked on is just like, oh, really? Like, of all the things you could talk about. Because normally, like, Raven, who cares if her fishnets were Hanes her way controlled top? Yeah. Like, does it matter? The rest of her outfit was stellar.
But at this point, they're just being nitpicky, right, as they're saying, because they're so perfect. Mm-hmm. But it's like, really, are the stockings that much of an issue that you had to point them out?
Yeah, were they making you...
stockings person, so I'm not going to...
Were they giving you the sads inwardly?
Well, apparently they were giving him the sads. So
I mean, he's suicidal over those stockings.
Right. Can we get to the lip sync and that
lip sync?
The fact that someone finally hit the save a hoe button. I am so excited about that.
Tony was way excited.
I was like,
I was excited for Cam just to see it.
Oh yes, it yes, exciting. Yes, yes. I was, but I will say this: if you're gonna hit the save a hoe button, save a hoe, because Yara pretty much got up there and
she mugged the whole time. That's
well,
she
yeah,
did.
She did exactly what I felt like Alexis was doing. You can tell in these lip syncs who's gonna win from beat one. Mm-hmm. And Raven, it was unfortunate that Rujubi ended up in the bottom. But I mean, who else are they gonna put in the bottom? Mm-hmm. But when it came to that, Raven beat one was like in it. And as she said, I'm giving them Raven sex. And for that song, you had to do that. And when Yara came in, I was like, okay, now it's going to get interesting, because Yara kind of has that sex appeal to her too. But she did exactly what Alexis did. It was like that very like, I'm like trying to perform, but I'm not really in
this character
and performance.
She was just walking the runway.
Yeah. Some of the best lip syncs on Drag Race have been the ones where the girls just are true to themselves. Like Latrice, you know, when she lip syncs, first of all, I do have to say season 4 of Drag Race, Latrice, all her lip syncs were very soulful and so it fit with her. However, when they just do them instead of trying to do someone else, like, you know, it just works. Like Raven, she's like, I've seen this song so many times, like outside of drag, I know this. And I do agree that over the past seasons with Yara Alexis being on season 3 and now when they perform, they're always like very full out and very like pageant and just so in your face, like they're trying to give you a show, and really it's just not needed.
No. It can be agitating,
right?
And it doesn't resonate with the viewers, and let alone the judges. And you know, when you connect with somebody like that, it can be more endearing. Raven started stripping. When we know, we all talk, we don't like that, but she did. She
and
still
here's
made it work.
I got very nervous.
She made it work. I'm not ripping on it.
I was waiting for the wig to come off next.
No, unfortunately, the wig never came off. Here's the thing: she kept her wig on. She kept her shoes on. She looked like a girl when she took her dress off.
Vaseline.
I'm okay.
You guys
with
like
that.
When they strip down.
The wig coming off is a huge no-no. You don't.
Oh well, who was doing it last year? Milan was doing it, it irked me every time.
Unless you're
she
a trick
was swiffering
and you got
the floor
another
with
wig
her
underneath.
Taint.
Yeah, that no, the wig coming off is and is a huge no-no. But with Yara Alexis and I have yet to see them just go up there and be effortless as far as their everything they do. It's always
calculating.
Very calculated.
Yeah.
And of course, as a competition, you have to be strategic and you have to have a certain way of doing things. But in their performance, because that's when it comes down to everything, once they're doing the lip sync, everything that happened prior no longer matters. This is do or die, as RuPaul says. You know, it's your final chance. And so them not being successful in this show was evident. I mean,
but I feel like with Yara Alexis, A, they were the team that I often forgot about. Like, and
Tony literally forgot they
like,
were there.
Yeah, like there was that one week we were going over all the teams, and I was like, oh my God, Yara Alexis, totally forgot about them because they weren't that memorable. But I also kind of feel like, for some reason, I feel like they never connected. Like, I feel like Alexis just kind of went along with what Yara was doing and kind of, they kind of meshed into a Yara twin-like thing.
Right.
To where, like, yeah, they were winning some challenges and stuff, and yeah, they were doing stuff, but they weren't memorable.
There's no standard identity, like, no pow.
Exactly. It was more like a ping.
I mean, besides the fact they had no real internal connection, like you said.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's why she pressed the button.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, her hand going in slow motion.
There's a part of me that feels like Yara pressed the button because she was like, you know, this is going to be it. So I'm going to get my last little bit in too, because you could tell, like, she was thinking, she was like, okay, I'm going to press a button. I know I'm going to press a button, and here we go. And it was so dramatic how they slowed everything
and
down,
the music there.
How the judges were like looking over, and she was like, and I don't even think they really pressed the button. I think they just like, it was almost like, it reminded me of Apollo. Like the show Apollo with the log. And how people would like rub the log. That's how that looked. She was just like, and then she got up there and did the exact same thing.
And she clearly had said, and I think it was Untucked, that she feels that she's carrying Alexis. So.
And I would agree with that.
Oh, I think we all do.
First of all, I have to clock some of the queens, so as far as the lip sync goes, period. I would love to see someone just turn it out. I have yet to see you see a lot of great performances on Drag Race with the queens performing, but there has yet to be one that has just been like, bam. That was, like, hands down one of the best lip syncs for your life. These people get amazing songs. Like, don't you put my ass in drag and let me lip sync for my life on Drag Race. I will shut it down because they have great songs.
Wait, who did that fancy shuffle the two episodes
Latrice.
Ago? Latrice. That was my favorite.
Honestly, that lip sync, Latrice and Tammy, was like, it was really good.
In the history of Drag Race. Yeah.
Because, A, they brought themselves, just like you were saying, how just be yourself. Latrice was Latrice, Tammy was Tammy, and they were both equally entertaining. Like, Tammy and all her Tammyisms, and Latrice and that shuffle, it was the thing that sealed it for her. But they were both in it, but they were both themselves. And I think that, as you said, that's a key for lip sync. Uh-huh. And that's why, Ruju B will be on for another week, because Raven was in it from beat one. She was like, the song is Don't Ya. It's the Pussycat Dolls. It's sex. Like, it's not a cause for, like, this cheerleadery, happy type of a thing. And Raven was like, I'm going to do it. And she gave you Sunshine Stripper on the other end of L.A. with a pole.
With a hoo-ha hanging out.
Yeah.
Which I was still okay with. I don't know why.
It was seductive. It wasn't too trashy.
No, it was very seductive. Very seductive.
I'm interested to see Chanel lip sync for her life. Because I didn't... When the last time, well, I don't know. I just need to get off that Chanel train.
I think you need
Speaking
to hop on
Speaking of
board.
Trains that Yo, are moving
you think
somewhere.
She's gonna no, stop.
News and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
On November 6th, voters in Maine, Maryland, and Washington were the first in the country to approve same-sex marriage by popular vote. In other states, marriage equality was legalized by the state legislation. Minnesota voters also rejected a ban on same-sex marriage. Tammy Baldwin became the first openly gay person elected to Senate in Wisconsin. And along that kind of vein, the Williams Institute at UCLA Law reported Monday that wedding spending by same-sex couples in three newest states to approve gay marriage may generate more than $166 million over the next 3 years.
Hell yeah.
Oh. And so this article,
incomes.
I think, I can't even remember.
Disposable income, sorry.
They basically are coming up with these numbers from the states that already have approved gay marriage, and the incomes from same-sex marriage have gone up. Ways to save the economy, people. Anyway.
Be gay.
I also had a clip about gay penguins, but I think I can skip over that.
Oh, I totally forgot to tell you some news and gossip that I have.
Go ahead.
You can see some of your favorite RuPaul's Drag Race queens on a hit Fox show called Glee coming up on November 29th. Yay. So everyone make sure you tune into that. Some of your favorites, I know some, but I don't know if I can say. But make sure you tune into the episode. It's going to be a good one.
November 29th?
November 29th. At 9 p.m. on Fox.
Jason, do you have any news and gossip?
Plug.
No. No news and gossip this week as far as Drag Race is concerned. You can go watch RuPaul's Drag Race every Monday at Mickey's in West Hollywood. Awesome show.
I agree.
Showgirls is one of the best drag shows this side of Mississippi. A lot of the stars from the show are there performing live. Hosted by yours truly, Toni Moore.
That would
bring
be
you
me.
Dollar bills, yo.
Are you doing any other work, like dance or anything?
I'm always hosting. I'll host a lot of things. I'm always booking jobs as a dancer. I stay pretty busy. Like I said, I'm here at AfterBuzz weekly. You know, busy, busy, busy. And
Jason J. Carter.
That's right. And
take no prisoners.
Take no prisoners. #. And hopefully, I'll be on season 5.
We hope so. I love the fact that the pit crew has been like a thing. Like the judges, like Michelle and Santino, we're used to them, and we're getting used to you guys.
Well, it's branding of the show. I mean, people want to see. I mean, they can they could bring in a new pit crew, but the thing about I say about me and Sean is that we're not just guys naked. Like we're multi talented, as you saw in season 4. They had us acting. We can do everything when we're given the opportunity to do that. You can hire any guy to be the pit crew, but are they going to bring that multi talented, multifaceted aspect? I don't think so. That's true. I think that's why they keep bringing us back.
Oh, and it's good to see loyalty.
Yeah, people like, obviously, because we're doing an all-star shows here, it's like people
want consistency.
Yeah, want consistency.
Yeah.
So where can they find you? Twitter?
Yeah, definitely. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever, and you can also find me on Facebook at the Jason J. Carter fan page.
Hooray. Yay. So, predictions?
Shad gets it.
And now,
I think Shad's going to win, too.
Or be the top two.
Yeah, I think they're going to be the top two. Even though, I think, if this wasn't a pairing thing, I would want Raven and Chad in the top.
Yeah. I want Jujubee and Chad, even though I really like Raven.
Yeah. It's really close. I feel like the top two may be Chad and Chanel. I have a feeling about that.
I mean, they're going to ride Chad all the way to the end, definitely. Yeah. Where can we find you, Tony?
Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter at LoungingWithTony or LoungingWithTony.com.
Keeping it real with me. at Natalie Bratney. Every time he says Lounging with Tony, I have to sing that.
You can find me at Tomakava777.
At 123Jackie_B. That's Jackie spelled JACQUE.
Weirdo.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. I didn't name myself.
And thank you, Jason, for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you, guys. I would love to come back. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome back anytime you like.
Next time in costume. Just kidding.
But I was naked.
Well, I'll be naked.
It's not that cold in here.
I won't be. It's winter.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.